Turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Kings chapter 5. Our text today is in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And let's read from verse 1 to verse 14. This is about a fellow named Naaman who is a Syrian. And he is called the captain of the host of the king of Syria. That's the highest ranking military official in that country at this time. But you're going to notice he has a problem, and he needs God to fix that problem. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, "Wash and be clean"? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us today. Lord, many have come today, and their desire is similar to my desire in that we desire to hear from you. That's what we want. Now, Lord, if I'm the one doing all the talking, and all the thoughts come from my mind and from my heart, my imagination, my thoughts, and my understanding of the text, they're not going to get much. But if these thoughts and these inspirations and these words come from you, then a lot's going to get done today. We don't understand how all of it takes place because the sound of my voice isn't going to change. It's going to sound just like the same person that's kneeling here now asking for you to speak through me. But something different is going to happen in that the Spirit of God, Lord, will get on these words and minister them all over this building just the way you want them ministered. That's what we're praying you do. And I pray, Father, if anybody receives the ministration of the words of God, which I'm sure they will if you answer this prayer, may they know, Father, that it was you, and may they glorify you as a result. And Father, I pray today that you will eliminate distractions. We know we have an adversary. The devil loves to cause confusion, raise questions, bring doubt, and cause minds to wander away. Lord, I ask you today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rebuke him.
I ask you, Lord, to keep the minds clear and fresh here today. Also, Father, we pray for Pastor Bill Bailey in Chehalis, Washington, at the Faith Baptist Church. Now, please fill that man with your Holy Spirit, and I pray, Father, those folks that are there, they'll surround him and love him and help him and work with him in the ministry. And I pray, Lord God, you'll lead them and guide them and accomplish great things up in that area. Father, we also pray for Dennis, and we know how difficult the situation is for a man to recover from things going on in the hospital. But, Lord, we pray your hand will be upon him and that there will be a mighty, mighty great improvement in his health. I pray for his wife, Tina, for his other family, Father. I pray, Lord God, they'll be comforted and at peace that the greatest physician in the universe is interested in the outcome of this case. And glorify your name in what you do. For we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, in this particular text, you have this great man here, this fellow Naaman. And truly, he is there are a lot of descriptions about him concerning what he is. When it says in the Bible that so-and-so is the captain of the host, like Joab was the captain of the host when David was king over Israel, or Naaman is the captain of the host, you're talking about, as I said earlier, the number one military commander in the country. And next to the king, he's the most powerful individual that's there because, as you know from reading the history that you read in the Old Testament, there are an awful lot of wars, and if it isn't for a strong military, these guys have no way of protecting themselves. Now, in this particular case, something very special happened in the life of Naaman because not only was he an excellent captain, not only was he an excellent military commander, but in his case, in verse 1, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria by him. That's a strange thing because this man is a heathen man and the Syrians are enemies of the Jews, but evidently the Syrians were under some kind of an attack by either Egyptians or Assyrians, and God used that man Naaman to deliver the Syrians. He's a very, very special person. He's called here the captain. He's called a great man. He is called honorable. He is called used of the Lord. He is a mighty man in valor, the Bible says. So you are dealing with a very well-known, high-ranking official in Syria. But it doesn't make any difference how mighty he is, how much he was used by the Lord, how great he is, how much valor he has, and that he's the captain. He had a problem. He had a problem. Notice the problem he had. Notice the problem he had. In verse 1, the Bible says in the end of the verse, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now, you know something about leprosy from hearing a little bit of Bible study. You may have seen some things about it. Not all leprosy is the same, but there is the type of leprosy that's most notable that you're probably aware of. Tommy Tillman deals with a lot of this over in Thailand. But leprosy, that type of leprosy, is an excellent and fitting picture of sin. Because what happens is it starts small. As a matter of fact, when it gets in the person, they don't even realize they've got it. It doesn't feel like anything. It doesn't necessarily feel change the way that they feel. Like if you got the flu, you would feel that. It starts small like sin does. Somebody says, take a drink, take a drag, take some money, do whatever. You do that and you say, ah, that was pretty good. You know, I think I'll do another one. It starts small. You can't feel that the destructive power of sin has gone to work in your body. The Bible says that if you sow to the flesh, you shall also of the flesh reap the corruption. And you don't see the corrupting influence of sin in your life, but it's there. Now, eventually it spreads throughout the body, leprosy does. Just like sin starts out and it's a small little thing, but the next thing you know, it's affecting the relationship you have with your family. It's affecting your pocketbook. It's affecting your mind. It's affecting your sleep. It's affecting your attitude. It's affecting your spiritual relationship with the Lord God. It's spreading out and affecting a lot of parts. Leprosy, when it spreads, begins to kill the nerve endings in the extremities of the body, like the fingers and the toes and the nose and the ears. And then what happens is those extremities just die and fall off. At that point, you know you got a problem. And then the eyes begin to go, and the eyelids begin to go, and the lips begin to go, and the ears completely fall off, and then now the toes, now the foot, now the ankle, now the calf, now the, you know, above the knee. It's a horrendous disease. And not only that, this type of leprosy is contagious. In the Old Testament, when somebody had this type that was going to eat away the extremities and kill off the body and corrupt them, they had to cover their lip with a cloth, and then they had to cry out something whenever there was somebody coming into their presence. What did they have to cry out? Unclean. Unclean. So this man had that type of leprosy. I'm going to tell you something. Sin will make you unclean. You'll have unclean thoughts and unclean motives and unclean hands and unclean attitudes, and when these types of sins become sexual sins, then you get these other uncleannesses that become contagious, and you get various kinds of sexually transmitted diseases. You see, that kind of thing. Well, that Naaman has this leprosy, and it is a huge limiting factor in his life. He's still a great man. He's still a mighty man of valor, all that kind of thing, but he's got this problem. And, you know, he has working for him a little maid. A little maid. And she was taken captive out of the land of Israel in verse 2. So she's a slave. She was violently removed from her country in one of the wars, brought over there to Syria, and is being held captive. And she has compassion on her master, and says in verse 3, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Why in the world would a little maid like that under these circumstances have compassion on a great man like Naaman? But that's the way it is when God has a solution to a man's problem. Naaman's problem is leprosy. Your problem is sin. You say, "Well, I'm saved." You still got a problem with sin. But if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you got even a bigger problem with sin, because the wages of sin is death. We're going to die, but those of us who are saved are not going to die to pay for our sins. We're just going to die as a consequence of our sins, because Jesus has already paid for them, thank God. And unlike a sinner without Christ, we won't face the second death. We go on to live with Jesus Christ in heaven in eternity. But a sinner without Christ goes on to face what the Bible calls the second death, a spiritual death where he ends up spending an eternity in the lake of fire with the devil. That's tragic. That's absolutely tragic. And so we all have a problem with sin. If you have a problem with sin without Christ today, it's really huge, because it has eternal consequences. If you're here today and you're saved, you still got a problem with sin, and God can use the things you'll see in this text today to help you get over it. Now, notice not only the problem that Naaman had, but notice the people that God used. He used this maid. He used this maid. Now, can you imagine this little maid having some sort of influence with a man as great as Naaman? You say, "What are you saying?" Many of us here today would not have much trouble going to somebody who was down and out with a Bible and saying, "Hey, you know what? I'd like to show you something about Jesus Christ." But to think you might end up going to the president of a bank or the CEO of a corporation or a high-ranking politician or some great military figure and say, "Hey, you know something? I know a man, Jesus Christ, who can help you with your problem with sin." You'd be intimidated, wouldn't you? But not this maid. God touched that little girl's heart in such a way that she had compassion. You know what? A maid like that, who is a little maid that's been brought out, this is a teenage girl. People say, "Well, I'm just a little teenage boy. I'm a little teenage girl. I couldn't have much influence with anybody." You don't even know what kind of influence you could have until you let the Lord God put a little compassion in your heart, even for somebody who might, in this case, be a captor. Some of you have jobs, you think you're working for a person that's just taking you captive, don't you? But she's not the only person that was used. She says to her mistress, the mistress says to his lord, you know, one went in and told his lord, this is what the maid said. So it gets from the maid to the mistress to somebody who tells the man, and the word gets to the king of Syria. Now, what does the king of Syria do with the message? He says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write a letter to the king over there in Israel, and we'll send you over there. That's not what the little maid said. She didn't say, go to the Pope. She said, go to the prophet. She didn't say, go to the politician. She said, go to the prophet. So anyway, he writes this letter to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel said, go over there, and then the king of Israel goes, what in the world is he asking me to do? Try to heal some man of a leprosy? You know, rips his garment, falls down. He said, that man's going to try to come back and say, I was a failure in the thing that he sent for this guy to do, and that's going to be the cause for yet another war. I don't want that. You say, did God use the king of Israel? Yes, he did. He even used the king of Israel, and he used the king of Israel because the king of Israel said, I can't. You've come to the wrong place. Would to God there were more of us who could say, listen, you're not going to find your answer in the baptismal waters of our church. You're not going to find your answer to sin in some dogma or creed that we've cooked up. I'm sorry, I can't help you. But there's a man named Jesus who can. So even the king of Israel was used by God in that he said, you got the wrong man, pal. Well, Elisha in verse 8 got the word of God. So now he's got this great dignitary. When our Secretary of State goes to Japan to be able to have some political conversation with the Japanese diplomats, who does she get to see? A secretary? Or does she get to see somebody of equal authority or higher? All right, when somebody comes to our country and they send a king or a diplomat of high-ranking authority, then they have to be able to see somebody of equal authority or higher. Is that not right? All right. So now Big Naaman goes over to Big Prophet Elisha, right? And at the request of Elisha, he says in verse 8, send him over here, he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, his chariots, and stood at the door. You know, and he's got all these men that are with him, so he's got a big entourage. Verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger. Boy, that's really testing diplomacy, man. That's really putting it to the limit here. God used a maid, just a teenage girl. God used a messenger, just a common, ordinary citizen, a guy helping out Elisha. You know what the messengers of Elisha, you know what he did? He's just the guy that kind of takes care of him, wash, you know, make sure his hands are clean, make sure, things are set up. He doesn't have any, he's no great power of God. He's just a little guy, like us, like you and me. That's all we are, just a little messenger. God used that messenger, and what did the messenger say? He said in verse 10, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Naaman, oh, he was already mad that the messenger came, and now I got to take a dip in your nasty water? When I got to good rivers back there at home? Are you kidding me? And you know he went in a rage. We'll say more about that. And then in verse 13, when he is getting ready to leave, God used his servants who came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, you would have done it. Well, why not go wash and be clean? And finally he did it. You say, well, what is the practical point of that for all of us here that are gathered here today? You know what the practical point is today? Some of you are little maids. Some of you are messengers, and some of you are servants. You are unnamed nobodies in the book. You understand what we're saying? And God can use you, and God can use me to get a message to a big shot if that's what He wants us to do. I tell you what, when I read that and I think about that, I get excited because I know and you know that around this city there are some people that are stricken with sin who are tired of it. And Naaman was tired enough of that leprosy that he said, I'm going to make a trip over there and I'm going to get this fixed. And you know, another thing that I like about seeing all the different people that were used by the Lord in this, it's what we said before when we were talking about soul winning training. You don't have to worry about being the one that does the whole thing, gets them to a gospel, and then somehow or another gets them on their knees where they're going to pray and tell Jesus Christ they want to be saved so you can come back here and tell everybody that you led one or three or five or 15 souls to Christ. All you got to do is do your part. The maid couldn't heal him. The maid couldn't be there when he turned his back on Elisha. The maid couldn't be there to give the message that Elisha had for him. She was just used by God to do a piece. And that was, you know what? There's somebody that can take care of this problem for you. You know something? I can be used by God to tell the world of sinners that there's somebody that can help them out. His name is Jesus. And then leave that in the hands of the Holy Spirit to put a messenger and some servants and others in that person's life to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. Say it again. No. Really, we've talked about it, I know, over and over, but it's intimidating. And now that some of you are getting ready to knock on a neighbor's door, you're thinking, they might do this or they might do that. Listen, if you can get the message into their hands, and does it come to more than that? God can use that eventually to bring them to Jesus Christ. You put the thing in their hand that will show them how to be saved. You put the thing in their hand that is the remedy for sin. And that's good. Now, you know what? You might be on the end of this deal where the person finally recognizes, like he did before these servants, hey, you know what? I need Jesus Christ. You might actually be able to reap somewhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know the problem he had was leprosy. It's like sin. You see, the people that God used, a lot of different people in various circumstances, even somebody who couldn't help to keep directing him to somebody who could. But notice the pride that he revealed. Notice the pride that he revealed. When Elisha sent the messenger in verse 10 to tell him, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. What was Naaman's reaction? Bam! He slammed the door, didn't he? He was wroth. Have you ever told anybody about Jesus Christ and they got mad at you? I have, and I wasn't even trying to make them mad. And he went away. That, listen, he didn't come there to get mad and go away. What was his problem? The episode did not meet his expectation. He said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Sorry. He sent out the messenger, hey, dude, you need to go wash in the Jordan River seven times and you'll be clean. See ya. Ah!
Boom! That's not the answer to my problem, but it was the answer to his problem. Look at all that pride that he revealed there. Or not, verse 12. Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in a rage.
Really? First reaction to the good news was anger. Let me tell you something. You go to somebody and you tell them about Jesus Christ and they give you a little of this pride, it is to be expected. Every man will talk to you about his goodness. I know we were talking to one. How many times has this happened? You take them over there, you know, and show them over there. You're a sinner. You know you're a sinner? Did you know that? You're a sinner. And they say, you know, I'm a good guy. Or you go through the whole thing and show them the sinners burn in the lake of fire and Jesus is a substitute and all that kind of stuff. What do you want to do? He said, you know what? I'm really not that bad. He said, what in the world? How can you come to that conclusion when the book has just shown you are hopeless without Christ? And they said, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. You got leprosy. Can you not see that? You've got sin. Can you not see that? You may be a good sinner, but you're a good lost sinner. And what you need to be a good saved sinner. I don't fault your goodness. I'm glad you're good. It makes life for all the rest of us okay. But you're not good enough to be clean. That pride that was revealed. But you know that didn't stop God. And that didn't stop the people that were going to go to. Listen, when you are the captain of the host, you are the general, and you are mad, that's not a good time for one of the subordinate officers to come in and say, but wait a minute. General, you're wrong here. That's a real good time to get demoted, court-martialed with a dishonorable discharge and get your head cut off. But that didn't stop them. They weren't afraid of his anger. They weren't afraid of his rage. They weren't afraid of his pride. They understood that men who are in his case who don't get what they think they're supposed to have can get upset about it. Do you know that in the mind of sinners, you will deal with people, and if you told them, listen, the way to salvation is to give $1,000 to the Salvation Army, jump on top of the tallest building in Corpus Christi, and profess to everybody that I'm going to do good from now on, there are more people that would do that than bow and pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the nature of human beings. Or as one guy said, that's the nature of human beings. But you see, God knew, and the servants knew, and everybody else involved in this figured that if he were going there to get healed of his leprosy, recovered of his leprosy, the Bible says, and clean, that he would eventually have to do what he was told. And notice how that pride begins to leach out of him. Notice how he humbles himself. The Bible says in verse 13, his servants came near, spake to him, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? What are the next four words? Then he went where? Down. He had to humble himself from his pride and dipped himself. He had to get down and humble himself. May I say to you today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you're like Naaman. And you hear this preacher up here delivering a message to you just like that little maid or just like one of the servants, and you're thinking to yourself, I'll tell you what, my religion is better than yours. If you came out of a religion that had a lot of routine and a lot of ritual and you're here today and you haven't seen any routine and you hadn't seen any ritual and you hadn't seen any cross and you hadn't seen any statues and there's no appearance of holiness here, we haven't performed a religious type ceremony here, you're probably saying, you know what? This isn't going to work here. These people aren't religious enough. And I would understand that just the same way that I understand it about Naaman. But the problem is, his solution to his problem was not a highly religious exercise. It was just go get in there and be clean. You see, the thing that throws people off about salvation is that it is simple. Paul said, I'm afraid lest Satan hath beguiled you like he beguiled Eve from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, if Jesus Christ is the one that died on the cross as your substitute and already bore your sins and paid for them with his death and paid for your eternity in hell for 3 nights and 3 days and rose from the dead, what else is there left for you to do? He already did everything that can be done in the payment for sins. You just need to wash and be clean. Or as they say down here, wash and be clean. I'm from the other part of Texas where the R in wash is silent. You'll have to humble yourself and say, but I'll just tell you what, I came over there, somebody invited me to let me to Baptist Church, you know, just can't wait to get out of here. We'll let you out of here pretty soon. But you're going to have to put your pride aside. You're going to have to recognize that God is. It didn't bring Jesus Christ down here for you today to tell you that He will save you. He's just using a messenger, a nobody, a Gehazi, to just come to you and tell you that you can wash today and be clean in Jesus Christ. You have to humble yourself. I've seen people get mad at the preaching of the Word of God. But you know, I heard a preacher say one time, said, I don't like to go to church unless the preacher makes me mad. I don't feel like I've been to church. Because I know I went in there as a wicked sinner and I need somebody to help me get cleaned up. Today so much preaching. If you put $1,000 in there, God will give you $10,000. And I can make you feel good about it. I want you to be proud of me when I drive my Jaguar out of the parking lot. And let me tell you, God loves you so much, He's just going to build you up, make you feel so good today. Don't you already feel so good just being here today? Oh, God. Come on, men, pass those plates again. Yes, I'm feeling good. Oh, that's nauseating. Look, I like to feel good like anybody else, but not like that. Ugh. You know, when I go in the shower, I want more than lukewarm water. I want some hot water to get that nastiness off of me so I come out of there feeling clean. You got to have to humble yourself. Naaman did. He didn't like it. He didn't like it. You know, in the old-fashioned deal when they had preaching, they'd have an altar call, say, if you want to get saved, why don't you come down here? People don't like to do that today anymore. You know why? Pride. It's not really a lack of courage. It's, if I go down there, then everybody's going to know I was the sinner that he was preaching to today. Well, let me let you know something. They already know that sitting where you are sitting. I had somebody here just the other day, and he said, I don't know how it was. I had to keep looking around because everything you said, you were telling everybody about me. Well, that's the way it is in church. Amen? So the problem he had was leprosy, which is a type of the sin we have. The people God used were all kinds of people, but he didn't let him see Elisha. Any more than he's going to have Jesus Christ come down here and appear to you and tell you what the man said is right, he's going to expect you to believe it from the Word of God. And he said, notice the pride that he revealed. I understand it. So do you. But you're going to have to humble yourself. And then notice this. Notice the promise that he received. In verse 13, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Yes, the answer is yes, he would have. They all knew it. How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, in the first part of this chapter, the maid said, if he goes over there and sees the prophet, he will, she used the word, recover him of his leprosy. And later on, when the messenger comes out from Elisha, he says, go dip in the Jordan 7 times, thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Those are not the same word. In other words, if that leprosy had begun to take its toll and scar Naaman's body, and he went in that river and dipped 7 times until he was clean of the leprosy, he still would have come out of there with all the nastiness of what that leprosy had done up to that point, right? But the maid said, you go over there, he will recover him of the leprosy. He goes down in that water seven times and comes up, and the Bible says his flesh was like the flesh of a little child. He was recovered. Right? And then the Bible also says, and he was clean. In other words, he could have been recovered with the flesh of a little child without being cleansed of the leprosy, and it just would have repeated itself and done it again. Or he could have been clean without recovering from the leprosy, and he would have been without leprosy but still scarred. God took care of both of them. You know what I love so much about what I'm reading there? Some sin has scarred you deeply, and you're thinking, okay, well, I can get saved, and God's going to forgive me, but I'm going to go on and keep doing the same things that I was doing before I got saved. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. In AA, for the protection of the people that are going to those meetings, you're supposed to say things like, I am a recovering alcoholic, even though you're not drinking anymore. And the purpose is to show that I'm still what I was. It's just I'm not doing it anymore. I'm getting better. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ has something even better than that to offer. And that is that you can actually be, from the Lord Jesus Christ, recovered and clean. You say, how do you know that? Personal experience? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, man. It is the full package deal. We're not talking about reforming life and getting better and starting over and turning over a new leaf. We are talking about being made a new creature in Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, man. When Naaman received the promise, he obeyed what he was told to do. He said, the Bible says, he did this seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. You know what some people call preachers? Sometimes they call preachers the man of God. And they do that from the Bible. May I tell you something? That's a humbling title, and that's why I'm glad you don't use that about me. That's what I am, according to the Bible, but that's a scary, because of the fear of God, title. I prefer to be, hey, you. I'm a lot more comfortable with that. I feel my right a lot more at home. But may I tell you something today, like Elisha had told Naaman, I'm telling you. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? What you heard today regarding salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will humble yourself, is true. Because Jesus Christ said, or Paul said about Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when you get saved, you get sanctified. I'm going to tell you something. When sin comes, you take a dip in that thing and you come up clean. 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 Say, preacher, what do you want me to take from this? If you're here today without Christ, you've heard a messenger tell you that by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be recovered and clean today. But if I'm just the little maid to you, so help me, God's not going to leave you alone. There's still an Elisha, there's still a messenger, and there's still some servants, and they're going to tell you what you just heard today. Because God loves you enough not to leave you alone. But if you've come to a place in your life where you say, I can put this pride aside and dip in Jesus Christ, then you know what? It's time to do it. But this message is also for those of you who are a little bit intimidated to be the maid or to be the messenger or to be the servant. May I tell you something? When you're being used by God, filled with the Spirit of God, just do what He wants you to do, because God's got great things for the person you're talking to at some point in time, either then or in the future, whether you're there to see it or not. The servants were the only ones who got to see it. The messenger, Elisha, the king of Israel, the king of Syria, and the little maid and her mistress and the one that reported to Naaman. They didn't get to see it till he came home. But boy, when he got home, they knew this guy's not the same as he was when he left here. I had people tell me after I got saved, they said, something's happened to you. You're different. I said, thank God. I didn't want to stay like I was anymore. And you don't have to stay like you are anymore. Be the messenger. Be the maid. Be the servant. Tell them what Jesus wants them to know. But if you're here today without Christ, be Naaman. Admit that your sin is bad enough that it needs to be clean today. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cover a lot of ground in this text, and I find myself in there. Naaman, the sinner needing salvation. I remember that day, Lord. Whew. Thank you, God. Father, I've also found myself in there as those servants just scared to death to tell a person in a rage that what they heard from Jesus Christ is still the right news. All they need to do is trust Him. And I'm thankful, Father, that some have. Now today, Father, I pray that you'll encourage our folks here. And I pray you'll encourage sinners here without Christ. By your Spirit, by your Word, to do your will. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, let me just ask you something. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you here today raise your hand and say, Preacher, I sure would like to be like that maid or that servant or that messenger. Slip your hand up, slip it right back down. I'll pray for you. Amen. Father, you've seen the hands around here. I pray for these that raise their hands. Encourage us all in this work that the little bit we can do is of great value when we're doing what you want us to. All right, how many of you here today say, I'm Naaman. I'm a sinner without Christ. I need to be saved. Slip your hand up, slip it back down. I'll pray for you. I will not bother you. But I sure want to pray for you because it's a very, very important time. You're here today without Christ. And you need to be saved. Slip your hand up. Slip it right back down. Anybody? It's tough, isn't it? Father, you've seen and you know the hearts of the folks that are here. I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have amongst us one without Christ, that your Holy Spirit will take what's been said today and give them more encouragement by more folks along the way that what they heard today is the truth and the solution is in Jesus Christ. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.